Remember the first time I seen you moonwalking? I believed I could do anything. You made the world dance. You made the music come to life.
It's the type of song that make the angels cry.
Mike Jack.
Look up in the sky and I wonder why.
Why?
Why you had to go, go. I know it's better on the other side.
For the grace.
You were chosen from the start. You're never gonna let you go.
God chose you. We'll never forget you.
The king.
We miss you.
Who's Michael Jackson? You're Michael Jackson. I'm Michael Jackson. We all Michael Jackson. I guess what I'm asking is everybody bow their head for a legend. Don't breathe for a second. Now let the air out. Grab a hand of somebody you care about so you can hear my message, my confession. Somebody tell Usher I seen a moonwalk. I guess the young Thriller touched him like he touched me, like he touched you. So carrying his legacy, something I must do. And I trust you, lighting candles, concrete visuals. Me and my brothers was the Jackson 5 in our living room. First thing I did when I heard was called Puff, cause him and Mike try to stop the beef between us. Who is us, me and 50? That beef is dead. Him and young Mike Jackson gonna take us to the ledge.
That's the song that make the angels cry. Look up in the sky and I wonder why. Why you had to go, go. I know it's better on the other side. You're chosen from the start. You're never gonna let you go. It's my
life. As I'm pouring out this liquor, candle starts to flicker, windless my Air Ones. MJ was my nigga, not the one that played ball, the one with the Hollywood star. And since I'm a Hollywood star, I'ma tell you my story. Never had a family that close, never seen Berry Gordy walking through Interscope. Just like me, they always had Mike Interscope. No matter what you say, I'ma love him and it's still dope. Let me take you back to 85 when I was in a zone, dancing for my mama, Thriller jacket with the zippers on. Now I'm doing 90, about to crash in his Aston, listening the Outcast. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Anything I could ever do to better you. Your son was our king, so we gon' credit you. I'm writing this letter to all of the Jackson kids. We all Jackson kids. Time to let us through.
Say what they want to say about you, but we're gonna remember the miracles that you showed us through your music, through your dance, through your philanthropy. You were the one that made us all realize that we are the world. You were the one that showed us we can moonwalk. You gave us the beat, you gave us the rhythm, you gave us the soul. Through us, your legacy lives on. We can't stop now. We won't stop now. Mike Jackson,
Mike Jackson.
Yes, 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 that was the game featuring Sean Puffy Combs with a ditty to Michael Jackson, with a tribute to Michael Jackson. Rest in peace to Michael Jackson, the greatest entertainer who ever lived. It's Youth Now Radio on 88.1 CKDU. What's happening? It's your boy Case. We have a very jam-packed show. So we're going to get right into the small talk because we ain't getting much time for the small talk. So everybody, sound off. Tell everybody how your weekend was, who you are, what's happening.
My mic's upside down. What's up? It's Glenn. My weekend was awesome. I helped Joey move on Wednesday or Saturday.
Just pull it out.
Who's in the other studio? Hey, what up, guys? Yeah.
What up? I need
the jacket as well. And I'm awesome. I'm a pastor to Becky.
All right. Hey, Halifax. It's Becky. I had a pretty good weekend. Not bad, not bad. Later on in the show, probably around 10 after 6 or so, we got a few guests in the house from Eastern Eagle.
Eastern Eagle's in the house.
Yeah.
What's going on?
So that's coming up at roughly 10 after 6, so stay tuned for that. And I'm going to pass it on.
And taking the baton now is Marshall. No, is it Marshall?
I thought you were going to take the baton, but you know.
I saw you posed, man. I mean, you're in that kind of starter's position.
I was in the blocks, yeah. Well, what's up, y'all? It's Mr. Marshall Williams, a.k.a. Lesh, a.k.a. the champ. You know, for some unknown reason, I don't really know why, but, man, I'm feeling a little under the weather today, man. The champ needs to stand at 8 count, so, I mean, I don't want to mess up the air in the room. I'm not going to say too much, you know, just chill, and hopefully my mood gets a little better, you know. But, I mean, the weekend was all right. There's nothing in particular that's bothering me, but, I mean, I just, you know, you feel down once in a while, man. So, I'm just gonna kick back.
Aw, cheer up.
But you got to remember, too, that orange, that T-shirt you're wearing is a very vibrant color.
Orange.
Yeah, that's a fly shirt, man.
I like that.
It's fly.
Yes, yeah, it's kind of new. I bought it a couple days before I went away. So, you know, I had another orange shirt, but it got all old and tattered. So I need to go get a fresh one, you know.
Yeah.
Shout out to Foot Locker.
Yeah, 5 for $25.
Yeah.
So who was manhandling their microphone?
That was me. I accidentally, we have a new setup in here. I think it's upside down, but I don't really care because I like it.
You like it that way, yeah?
Come in and see when we play the next song. I feel like a ring announcer.
Okay, I love indeed.
Yeah. It's me, Odizzy, checking in. Happy Monday, June 29th, everyone. And my weekend was spectacular.
Wow.
Spectacular.
As usual.
It wasn't good. It wasn't no. Okay. It was... spectacular.
Yeah,
what made it so spectacular?
Oh, because it was jam-packed. I stayed busy.
Awesome.
And it was a good weekend. And Case.
What up?
How did you enjoy your meal from A Taste of East Preston?
Yeah, it's A Taste of East Preston. $4 meal. It was very nice. I had the curry goat.
Curry goat?
Yes, curry goat church with some rice, some mashed potatoes, and some...
Sounds delicious.
Nice little steak and noodle dish. It was pretty good, actually.
Now I want some curry goat.
No.
I didn't make it to the Taste of East Preston, but the curry goat is always off the hook, man.
Oh, yeah. It's
always.
A fine choice.
I had oxtail.
Oxtail's always off the hook, too, man.
Which was succulent as well.
Succulent off the hook. Well, so I should say, I mean, I'm doing good, too. I'm here. I'm Sobaz Benjamin in the house. I'm sort of, you know, kind of, I'm feeling good. I'm not wearing orange, but I am wearing this kind of checkered kind of, is it plaid? Is that what this is called? Like Marshall's saying, it's loud, man.
Big guys here, Case.
Big guys here?
Yeah.
Oh, the big guys here?
Big guys
Mr.
here.
Brooks? Is Mr. Brooks in the house? Yeah, I see him behind me. Oh, lovely, lovely. Our guest has just arrived, which is cool.
One of many.
So it should be interesting to have Mr. Brooks on the air shortly. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. Basically, we're going to go to a track, and then we're going to be back. Actually, first, I'll introduce the guests.
Sure.
But
why don't you do that momentarily, only because Mr. Brooks doesn't have his headphones on. He can't hear anything. So why don't you just play a track?
Okay, we'll just play a track and get him settled in.
Get him settled in for sure.
Okay, so we'll be back. Interesting show lined up. Youth Now Radio right here on 88.1 CKDU.
Party over here, fuck you. We keep it poppin', 6ix9ine, stay lockin' it up.
Cops in the play.
You gonna call them or what? Hey!
Watch the beach, we here. The 4, 5, and 6 is parked in the rear.
Yeah.
West side riding, I
ain't scared, but yeah, the strap high. 50K worth of diamonds. Once again, it's on the Dub Union. Who you fool is scrappers, Max moving. Young bros choosing, cracking the tracks, grooving. BL doing it, moving, move or you lose them. House shoe music, gangster celebration. Flossing with the union, underground, the basement. Worldwide swagger, we got your answers. We got the drink jams, we got the dancers.
Get your cameras, take a picture, bitch.
Iced up, creased down, looking good, rich.
Cold like cancer, banging, I got the hood sick.
East side ride.
On the west side with a good twist, twist.
So this swag's so hot, can't turn it down if I try. Now that we hit, don't give a damn, don't hesitate. Roll it up, light it up, smoke it up, in the dark, we can play tag. Now the west is on the east.
Flossy boss ballin'. Like Marvin, the recipe W, cause the street's starving. Got the party locked, cracking like a party block. Fresh on the scene, I'm playing the candy paint drop.
Mean in my tank top, cactus crease haircut. Courtesy of Melly Mail, vet like Sally Sale. Fresh from the Sofitel, party like I'm off of L. I get it popping hoes, leave when I'm about to bail. Flirt like Kales, from the dark to the pale, from the thin to the thick. Show part wrists, looking like I hit a lick. Oh yes, exquisiteness. Southern Cal floss, the boss of the bitches.
LeBron even witnessed. Hot so ridiculous, MTV jams, BET rap scrimmages.
California backdrop with all these West images.
Black car call and the ball and it's limitless.
W,
what it do?
It's a party over here, fuck you. We keep it poppin', 6-9, stay locking it up.
Top to the cup.
You wanna call them a what?
We are now back, Youth Now Radio. We are back live at you. So we have the first of two distinguished guests.
Mm-hmm.
Joining us is the distinguished guest, I would say.
Yeah, I would
agree. We have Captain Kevin Brooks Sr. in the building. And I just want to add that he is the first captain or manager in the, in the provincial judicial system to hold that position of captain. So I just want to say shout out to that, making history. So, hello, Mr. Brooks. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all
right. Okay, Mr. Brooks, you're going to have to speak right. We have this, you know what we'll do? I'll give you my mic.
And that way, yeah.
So you speak, you're going to have to speak sort of like a fist size away from the mic.
Okay.
Yeah. So Captain Brooks is on the mic.
Yep.
You can drop the captain.
can we call you Mr. Brooks?
Yeah, I guess so.
Good to have you here, Mr. Brooks.
Not bad.
All right, all right.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
Can I ask can I begin with Mr. Brooks?
Yes.
I just wanted to give a little bit of past history, basically, because this program sort of has its roots with Mr. Brooks here in the studio. What was it? What must it have been, around 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think so.
Has it been about 2 years? 2 years ago, I'm at New Beginnings. Mr. Brooks is also at New Beginnings, and we have a conversation. Mr. Brooks is telling me, you know, that there's this idea that was circulating in the, what is it, in the Justice Department?
And Department of Justice through our executive director, yeah, at the time.
Yeah, with Mr. Fred Honsberger at the time, about a... Well, just wanting to kind of a program that focuses on sort of the history of African Nova Scotians and sort of dealing with the issues that African Nova Scotians are dealing with, and sort of there's nothing written in stone, but I just remember the seed of the idea that was being circulated, and you told me to go to speak to Mr. Hansberger. Is that how you recall it too, or am I missing details?
That's
I'm
correct.
Always missing details.
No, that's correct. We formed this equity committee within the Department of Justice, and one of the things that we identified is that there's a lot of young black youth in the system, and we try to find something that they can sink their teeth in, I guess, within the system. Once they're there, you know, be able to bring something in there that maybe to help them along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And we figure it's something along the lines of a black history, history of Nova Scotia, something that they can actually visualize and see,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe discuss, and we could kind of lead up to other things. But that was the gist of it.
Yeah, and I mean, 2 years ago, I sort of said, okay, well, you know, thanks for that connection, and went to Mr. Hansberger on recommendation of Mr. Brooks, and the rest is history, as they say. Here we are, 2 years later, and the program is here. It's up and running. And you've been listening to the radio show. You've been listening to a couple of shows, have you?
I've been listening to a bit.
Yeah, and you know a little bit about the program.
Yes, I do.
And I mean, we should share with our audience, too, that Case is your son.
That's correct. Actually, it's kind of good to see these young men get into something that's constructive and reaching out and, you know, trying to make some positive steps in the community. I applaud them. I applaud you all, and I just hope to keep it up to good work.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brooks. Thank you very much.
See, I was looking for I was looking for brownie points for Mr. Brooks. I guess I got them. I was looking for that pat on the back. No, I'm only playing. But anyway, throwing it to you, Case. Where are we going with this? Where are we going? Where's the discussion headed?
Okay. Well, first of all, Dan, I want you to first of all let the viewers know, and as well as everyone else, how long have you been in corrections, and just maybe just go into that way, and just let us know a bit about your professional, how you got your professional expertise, and give them the list of your credentials.
Well, first off, I guess I'll start out with the beginning. I went to Grand Creighton High School.
A local boy
from East Preston. I made a boo-boo along the way. I was a dropout. And once I dropped out, I got very angry at myself because I was a good student. So because I punished myself, I joined the Army. And through the Army, I was there for 7 years in the military engineers. I got my grade 12 plus some university courses, basically engineering. And I was there for 7 years. I did a lot of traveling. I traveled to Europe. I traveled up north two summers. I was all over Canada. So it was a great experience. But I got to the point where the challenge wasn't there, so I decided to get out. And it just so happened when I did. It was a time of recession, 81, 82. People thought I was crazy to get out of the military because I had a good, solid career, and I was going on the up and up. But I did, and within a week after I got out, I stopped in Calgary because at the time I was in B.C. My brother and I just spent some time with him, and the second day after I was there, they were looking for ex-military for open house. So I went there, and 2 days later, I was in corrections. That's just how easy it happened. So I guess I was meant to be in corrections. I was there for 3 years out west in a place called Spy Hill Jail. And then I decided to move back to Nova Scotia. I was back here for probably 2 years, and then I got back into corrections again. So I have a total of probably 26 years in corrections.
And you were on the riot team out west?
The what team?
You were on. He was on the riot team, as I recall. Is that correct?
Well, we didn't call it a riot team. We called it a tag team.
A tag team. Did you ever do anything more than exercises?
No.
Oh, okay.
But what is the tag team?
It's a tactical team. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's a team that comes together with formations. They have special weapons for riot control and mm-hmm. doing. You know, stuff out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They learn how to neutralize situations quick.
Yes, of course, you look at that. I was back then, you're looking at 82. That's how many years ago? So I was young and full of vim and vigor back then, right?
So coming home and you got into corrections, what was the, was there a transition at all between out west and coming home?
Yeah, there was a transition. Where I came from out west, it was pretty hardcore. They address you as Mr.
These are the inmates you're talking about now. When
yes.
you say they address you,
okay. yes, mm-hmm. the inmates address you as Mr. or officer, and there was a line that you didn't cross. When I came to Nova Scotia, inmates are first name basis with officers, so it was quite a difference.
And was the institution out west, was that provincial as well?
Yes.
So the same 2 years left to date.
That's correct.
For the listeners, basically, as I understand it, if you get provincial time or while you're waiting trial, you go to provincial jail, which is where he's the captain at. Or if you get sentenced to 2 years less a day, anything around there, you get that's provincial time. And anything more than 2 years would be federal time. Am I correct so far?
Yeah, you're a good student.
Okay.
So you obviously have spoken with Case about what it is that you do.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been doing it almost as long as he's been on this earth, right?
So
He's used to me coming home wearing a uniform, and that's something I don't really talk about because I like to leave my work at home.
Sure. You mean your work at work?
Yes, yeah, but yeah. since he's become a man and, you know, he's asking questions about the justice system and the direction that he's going right now, he's looking for stuff, so I try to answer the questions that I can, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, next question. So, what was the transition like from being a correctional officer to becoming, to running the place, to becoming captain? How long of a process was it? And maybe just talk about the journey a little bit.
Well, I was at the Halifax Correctional Center for 7 years, and I became the captain. In the process, I was a staff trainer. And I was also in the Race Relations Task Force, the provincial task force, where we delivered diversity training throughout the province back in the 90s. It was an initiative that everybody would have that worked in the government. So I just happened to, I don't know, everybody was surprised when me, after being 7 years there, became a manager, when most people took them like 10, 15. So there was a few people there that weren't too happy about it, but they got used to it.
So I got a quick question. I'm just wondering, like, what was it about the job that you were doing that made you rise in the ranks so quickly? What do you attribute that to?
Well, first of all, I spent 7 years in the military training how to work under pressure in life and death situations. And the leadership training that I had, actually while I was there, I was a leader. And when I got out after 7 years, they tried to talk me into staying. I was 25 years old with 7 years in. I joined when I was 18. And they were offering me a sergeant position at that time. So I kind of moved along. I can work well within a system. Mm-hmm. And then going to Calgary, working in a jail, was close to 500 people. Hardcore, most of them. So coming to Nova Scotia was an easy transition because it was just easier.
So the environment inside the walls was a lot more easier than, or softer, easier to deal with than out west?
Well, it was easier for me because I worked in a place that was, we used to call a place in Calgary, I don't know if you've ever seen the story, Hill Street Blues.
Mm.
Well, please, that's the kind of atmosphere I worked in for 3 years out there. So we worked under pressure every day with great numbers. So when I come here to a small institution, a little less quieter, more quieter and less stressful. Actually, I didn't feel any stress at all.
All right, so as you were in Show Badge were talking earlier about you've seen a lot of black youth in this institutionalized. I just want to say, first of all, not black youth, but just how many people would you say around here, youth not radio, so we speak as youth as 30 and under. So from your, give us a sense of some real numbers. In your professional opinion, would you say in the county right now, how many percentage of the inmates are 30 years or younger?
I would say probably 85%.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, so of the 85%, how many of them are either Aboriginal or Native or African Nova Scotian?
I can't really say right now. And actually, about 85%, because I'm starting to think now, a lot of these guys that I've seen there, I've seen them over and over and over again. And maybe they might be over 30 now, but it just seems like they are because they're stuck in the same spot. So it's kind of hard for me to say, you know, because if they came in like 5-6 years ago and they're still doing the same thing, to me, they haven't grown up and they haven't aged.
Right.
So I guess that's why I look, because they act the same as they did back then. So I still look at them as youth. Because youth is not only age, but I think it's a state of where you are. That's my own personal opinion.
No, I agree. I'm just sort of holding back. Did you want to say something?
No, I'm just intrigued.
Okay, because I don't want to monopolize the conversation here. But, you know, I just it's interesting to me, Kevin, when I hear you say that you're seeing people return to prison doing the same things. Now, I know, you know, from your position, I mean, you're on the inside working with these people, but like, do you have any idea of why that's the case? What is it that is stopping, you know, it's arrested development is what that is. I mean, you're basically saying that, you know, they haven't learned a lesson, or they haven't grown from the experience of being incarcerated, and they're doing the same things. And do you have an understanding of why that is?
Well, it's a sad reality. Is once you get caught up in the system, you become a part of it. And if you take on that frame of mind that you are a part of it and try to play it, then you don't get out. You know, it's something that just I see happening. Like, they don't get out. They actually, Case asked me a question a while ago. I think he's going to ask me again. But before he asked me, I'm going to bring it up. He asked me about this remand, double time for doing remand. Why do people do it? Is that a good thing? I think it's a terrible thing, because what happens is, if you do something and you say, well, okay, I'm going to stay remand for a while, a long time, so I can get double time for what I'm doing. So what you're doing is you're playing a game within the system.
Before you proceed, I mean, I think for some people may not know when you say remand, what are we talking about? What does that mean? Just for breaking down for audience members who kind of may not know what you mean.
Remand means you're charged with something. You went before the courts, and that case is ongoing. So rather than you be on the street, you're actually inside doing time for something that you haven't even been convicted of yet.
And that's called remand.
Remand. It's if you have to go to court, say, 2 years from now for whatever, and you're doing all that time inside, that's remand.
Yeah, that happened to me previously.
That happened to you?
I just walked in. I'm just buttoning, and, you know, I'm just hopping in the convo, right?
That's Kyle. Kyle, okay. We're glad to have you here, bud.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, as far as remand goes, what if someone can't post bail or something like that, is that also, would they also be put on remand?
That is true. Or if they figure they're a risk. The sad thing is, a lot of people who get caught in this system are in that socioeconomic group, and you're talking poverty, which plays a big part in that, and socioeconomic status. So if you don't have the resources, cases are sometimes you will find yourself inside without much support so that you can get bail. Or if you don't show that you have the proper as the court see it, support on the outside to keep you out of trouble, then they might remand you. But it's not good when guys play that game, because if you go and get charged and you have an opportunity to get out, but you say, no, I'm going to stay remand so I can get double time, you're actually playing the system.
And then what happens if they get convicted, you know what I mean? Then they got to stay in there even longer.
Well, not only that, but I'm the kind of person who, I'm not, this is just me, but if I do something and I know I do it, I'm going to plead guilty. I'm going to put that behind me so I can move on with my life. But if I play, say I'm not guilty, knowing that I am, then I'm playing the system. And if you take on that mentality, then it becomes a part of you. So if you play the system, then eventually you're going to get caught up in it. And that happens so much because you don't even think about it. You say, well, this is what I'm doing, but you're not really doing anything that's how I feel, that's constructive. If you say, okay, I did this, now I want to turn myself around. Yes, I did it. I'm going to plead guilty, take what I get, and not going back. That's a different mentality than say, well, I'm going to plead not guilty, and I'll do remand and get double time. Because what happens is you do the double time, you don't get much. Then when you're out on the street, you'll do it again. Because you become a part of the system that you're playing. That's the way I see it.
I was just going to say, I think it's important, too, that, you know, if you have the resources to not end up on remand, that you should choose to go back into the world and try to better yourself during that time that you have where you can be outside of the system. And because the judge, if you are found guilty, will look at that when it comes to sentencing. If during that time that you were out, you chose to be productive and go get a job or go further your education or do whatever it is that you can do to better yourself, you know, the judge is going to say, well, you know, the sentencing guidelines are for X, and, you know, he's been doing this during his time in between, and we know that he's trying to help himself. So, you know, those are some of the things that judges do consider in sentencing and things like that.
That is correct. And one other thing is, you're not doing it for the judge, you're doing it for you. So you're making yourself a better person in society. So you're starting to grow right then by accepting responsibility and moving ahead. So that speaks volumes.
There you go. Some free legal counsel right here on Youth Not Radio. What other radio show will give us some free legal counsel? What you know about that, folks?
Indeed. I mean, and are you looking to go to music right now?
I was going to just apologize to the listeners that today's show might be light on music because it's so jam-packed with guests.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is a very important conversation that I think needs to be had.
Absolutely. Do you want to throw out the call-in number in case people do want to call in and contribute?
Yes, for sure. 494-2487. If you have any questions for Mr. Captain Brooks here, or if you have an opinion.
I have an opinion. I'm just itching to put it out there. I'm sorry.
And also, I just wanted to maybe lighten up the load a little bit and maybe talk to Dad about some of the relationships that he, like, I'm sure you say the same stuff to the inmates on the inside because, like I said, you are pretty distinguished in the community and you are a local boy. So, as you say, I know a lot of the youth probably come to you on the inside or not, or people who know you, whether they be black, white, or whatever, because you are well known. Do anyone take the advice, and after take the advice, do you forge relationships with these inmates?
Well, I form relationships. Actually, that's what I do. I'm a person. Anybody who knows me know that I'm about relationships, and I get a special spot for youth. Actually, I've been coaching for close to 20 years.
Well, you was my coach that year, remember?
That's right, Kyle. And, Kyle knows me. I tried to help him when I could, even through employment at one point in time. So I'm the kind of person who likes to give people breaks. Not so much to give them breaks, but if I can help them, to help them along the way. I know what it's like when I was young, and the thing is, back then I had some real solid role models that weren't necessarily my parents. my father, like my grandfather and my uncle, and I had all these strong, hardworking men who were mentors to me. And sadly, but true, we don't have enough of that today. And wherever I can fill the gap, I do. So even on the inside, I talk to people. I don't talk to them as a captain, although they can't help from see me as a captain. I just talk to them as a person. And that's how I always dealt with people, regardless if I had a blue shirt, which is on the floor, or a white shirt working in management. I'm the same all the time. And most people who know me can tell you that. And a lot of people don't even know what I do on the street because it's not really something I talk about. I'm just the same all the time, so I don't put on any ears. It's just who I am is who I am.
So if no one else has any questions, I'm just going to go ahead and follow up the next question. I remember one story. I asked you about it before we left to remind you. We were at a wedding reception, and I don't know how old I was. I must have been maybe 14 because I remember I wasn't allowed to drink. And it was me, my father, my mother, and my sister was there, but she was on the dance floor dancing. And a gentleman came up to the table and addressed my father as Mr. Brooks. Is that you? Mr. Dare said, yeah, it's me. And they shook hands. And he said, man, I have to buy you a drink. Matter of fact, I got to buy your whole family a drink. Come to the bar right now. Just you, your mate, this your son? He shook my hand. He told me his name, but I forget because, like I said, I was young. And my father was like, whoa, he can't drink. He's okay. Well, I'll buy him a pop. I'm buying the whole drink. So he was like, he was seeming so excited. So we go to the bar. He buys Dad a drink. He buys my mother a drink. He gives me pop. He said, thanks. And it was like very quick. He didn't even stay in chat. He just said, I wanted to do that for you. Thank you. It was a good seeing you. So afterward, I said, Dad, who was that guy? Like, I've never seen him before. He's not a friend of the family. Like, who's that guy? And he was just like, that was an inmate. He's an ex-con. He was an inmate. And I was like, wow. And like, this is the whole time where I'm thinking I'm a teenager and you hear the rap music and, you know, you hear people say, you know, cops and COs and blah, 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 blah. Like, you're not supposed to respect them or not that. But I see this inmate who's like fresh out of jail and he's showing like the utmost respect for my father. So that's just one thing I remembered. So that's why I was intrigued. So does like things like that happen to you a lot? Like it's obviously that you obviously make an effect on these people's lives. And like, how do you feel about that? Like, is that what you look to do? I'm guessing that's obviously you do, but like just what are your feelings on that?
Well, like I said before, I had some real strong mentors in my formative years. And the one thing that they told me, and especially my grandfather, respect will take you places that money won't. And if you respect people, they're going to respect you back. And if you respect people, you can demand respect. And it's not about lording over anybody, it's just being a person and treating them as the same. And that's just, it's basically simple. That's what life is all about. If you treat people right, you're going to get it back. And if they cross you up, then that's another thing, right? But you give everybody the benefit of the doubt. And that's how I operate.
Mm-hmm.
And it works for me.
For sure. Well, I mean, wow. It's interesting listening to Case tell that story. What really made an impression on me on that story, too, is, you know, here we have this 14-year-old impressionable youth in KC, you know, aware of the whole kind of the discourse in hip-hop, in a lot of rap music about, you know, the mistrust of
law officers.
Yeah, law, you know, law enforcement and so on and so forth. And here he is, you know, kind of witnessing the complete opposite of that. I mean, I can remember back in the day, Chuck D in Public Enemy, you know, talking about the fact that, you know, people would talk about the fact that, you know, that's what young people were listening to was Public Enemy. That's where young people were getting the news from. They weren't listening to the news. They weren't reading newspapers. They would be getting an education through hip hop. And it's interesting to hear Casey talk about this moment where he received an education that actually kind of was quite the opposite from what he was learning in hip-hop culture. Is that a fair assessment, Casey?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a fair assessment. Like Pac at the time, like Pac's always talking about in music. Pac and other people always talk about, you know, crooked CEOs and, you know what I mean, and just, like, law behind the walls or law, like, just law enforcement in general. or even like in movies you see it, you know what I mean, the portrayment between, you know what I mean, like attitude between inmate and CO and stuff like that. But in real life, when I just seen that the transaction take place, it wasn't inmate and CO or anything like that. It generally looked like someone who received help, and they were just generally saying thank you. You know what I mean? Because like I said, he was, I don't know, man. I'll never forget it. He was so, I don't know, it was like he was so relieved and excited and unexpected and shocked to see my father there. Like, I don't know, like he was waiting to see my father there, but it seemed like it was something like he had that on his mind. Like, if I ever see him outside, I'm buying him a drink. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like he had that on his mind for a long time. It's like just how he went on about it. That's what struck me in my mind and make me never forget it, because he was so adamant about buying my father a drink.
But what I mean, in the time we have left, we don't have a lot of time. The question I'd like for...
Yeah, I have two questions.
You got two?
Yeah.
Well, you know, go ahead. Ask your two questions.
Okay. My first question is, a lot in movies, you see on the inside the cliques, you know, mean that the Hispanics with the Hispanics, the Caucasian with the Caucasians, and such on and so on. In your place of employment, is it like that? Is it cliquey like that?
Not really. It's a lot of fiction, but you have to look at society in general. If you have people who know each other, who have the same cultural backgrounds, they're going to gravitate to each other. Yeah. So it doesn't matter where you are on the street, inside, there's going to be a little bit of that, but they blow it up when it comes to TV and movies. Like, you know, it's over-exaggerated.
Well, that be in the States anyway. In the States, I think.
Yeah, in the States, it might be more about that than down here. Because down here, it's more, you know, it's, I don't know, I wouldn't say as divided, but, you know, as far as the underworld goes down here, it's pretty culturally diverse.
Yeah. equal opportunity employer. Okay.
Like, people don't really concern with, you know what I mean, the color of skin, you know what I mean, as far as it's all green, so people will business with anybody down here, I think.
Second question,
how does it affect you seeing young you from the community that you grew up in and the surrounding communities of Preston, maybe be people that you coached or people that you coached against or anything, like just young people that you see, like how does that affect you when you see them in the
inside?
Yeah, on the inside.
Well, it kind of disappoints me, you know, because like you said, a lot of them I seen it when they were young with lots of potential and promise, and somewhere along the line they come to a crossroad or something happens. I don't know what. It could happen to anybody. It could have happened to me, you know. Just to kind of elaborate on before I go into that, when I was coming up, there was a number of people that I used to hang around with. We were all in the group together, and some of them end up being inside when I was there, you know, many years later. So, and it could have happened to me. It's just that, like I said, I had some strong people in my corner. And when I would think about certain things, I said, well, no, what would he think? So that kind of kept me going the right way. But it's sad because, you know, it's once you get in that system, it's so hard to get out. And that's why it's sad. You know, I talk to them when I can. Some of them don't want to see me because they know how I feel. So, but it's not really something that I really seen. But while they're there, if I can help them, I will.
Well, any final thoughts, Mr. Brooks? Any final thoughts? Because I mean, we do have our Eastern Eagles in the waiting area as well, waiting to come on, and we'll be talking about some issues in the Mi'kmaq community and talking about art and culture and so on. The time that we have with you, unfortunately, is coming to a close, and I'm just wondering, do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to leave our... And we call our listeners viewers here, thanks to your son, Case. I mean, that's his... Do you want to leave anything with our viewers?
Yeah, I think a lot of our problem is not... It's not going to be solved by the justice system. It's not going to be solved by the education system. it's got to be solved. You got to use a holistic approach. You need the education. You need the justice. You need the schools. You need the communities. You need everybody in concerted effort. And the thing I see, when I was young, I had so many things I could do. But now it's like, even in the schools, like, they take away their, you know, like, gym and the music and all those things that we had back then. I guess we took it for granted, but you don't have all those things now. So there's no programming, there's not much for kids these days to get them focused. There's so many people there with so much talent, so much promise, but they don't have a venue or an avenue to pursue it. And that's, I guess that's sad. So I would say, as communities, as a government, and a lot of different agencies, I think everybody has to come to the table.
Unite.
Unite. And come up with a plan. And because, you know, our most valuable resources are our youth. That's how I really strongly feel that way. And unfortunately, we're losing a lot of them.
So basically, you're taking a stance that a lot of, basically, the problem is solved before or outside of the institution.
Correct. Once they get in the system, and not that it's doomsday, but their chances are slim.
Well, thank you, Daddy, Mr. Brooks, Captain Brooks. I hope you can, maybe another time you can come back. We can finish this most conversation, because I think it's one that we need to have.
It's going to be ongoing.
Yeah. I thank you for taking time out. I know you have somewhere to be, so I want to thank you for stopping by and sharing this little bit of conversation with us.
Well, thanks for having me. I just like to, I guess, get the discussion going. You know, some thought-provoking things, you know, some stuff. I just call it like I see it. I'm not really a liberal. I'm probably more of a conservative in my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way I guess I was raised. So I'm an old-school kind of fella, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I hope people just think of what I was said. And anyway.
We'll take it from there.
Yeah. Right.
And we definitely will have you back on the show.
Thanks for stopping by, Mr. Brooks.
Thank you.
I think he deserves a round of applause.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
All right, so now we will be back really shortly with Eastern Eagles, Native Drumming. And so we're going to hit you with a track, and then we'll be right back with you right here on Youth Now on 88.1 CKDU.
For sure.
Oh.
Yeah. Yo. They wonder why I play my piano, why I stay low-key. Why I'm always in the studio. That's what I do. You playing with the game. I play my piano. Yeah. Is it the love for the money or the love for the game? Is it the love from the honeys or the love for the change? Is it because most of these little niggas is white or because the game is yelling bring that real shit back? Is it because of the limelight I'm just trying to be famous? Or is it because the game dying and I'm just trying to save it? Maybe I'm just obsessed with it so much I won't be through it. Or maybe it's because I'm crazy, just in love with my music, high tech.
They wonder why I play my piano.
Claiborne glasses, burning the church till a bad bitch, dumping the ashes. Bailey's on ice with big straws. Mongoid boxes gleaming while the twin glocks stuffed in my drawers. Jadik is baldy with chicks on me, bricks on me. French, German murder, Swiss army. You can never snitch on me, I'm too strong. Spinning my web across town and rough places in black alleys, getting that bread. If I go broke, I sell slabs of soap, cheap bags of smoke. Told I don't fuck with Tone Loke. It's a Staten Island thing, you can act solid green. We rattle without that, while we become very valid. Until then, I play the piano. Luciano on the bass, Mariano on the block with the saves. I'm a grind till my season's great. Still young with them 80, poppin' Cialis and fuck all day.
They wonder why I play my piano. You can't deny it if it's shit.
jumper, champion sweats, night flight suit, boots on, about to put it in and eject. Streets love killers, brothers with swords, suede fronts, spray pumps, lobbies where the losses is bought, new shotties for the youngsters, good trees sitting the weeds, white tees all looking for monsters. Everybody punched in, it's lunchtime, look at the line, yo, I molded this design, see my gunsmiths. We carry 2 for 5, trooper tied. But got that gun to shoot stupid fire. Bagging up work, I'm back on the earth. About to make something happen fast. Put a stack in my shirt. Yo, all the coverage you can hear. Mobs the status, yeah. Yeah, the great ones, the Chris Bear. Get mines, you know a nigga rip lines. It's part of the character. But other than that, yo, I'm on bitch time.
They wonder why I play my piano. They wonder why I play my piano. You can't deny it if it's in you. Get that moniero. Wait any longer, it will stress you.
Thank you.
And we are back, Youth Net Radio. That was Eastern Eagles, and we are now joined by Eastern Eagles. What's going on, guys?
Turn up the instrumental.
This is Becky. We got Brian Knockwood, Nathan Sack, Keegan Sack, and Mike Sack in the house.
Hey, how's it going?
What up?
These are four guys from Eastern Eagle Drum Group. Who's missing? Who's not here?
Well, we've got an army.
Yeah.
There's quite a few guys. We got Gabriel Paul from Wagglebug, Cape Breton. He's not here. We've got
Jesse Augustine.
Yeah, Jesse Augustine. He's from Elsie Booktook, New Brunswick, but he lives in Millbrook. He's not here. From our own community, Jason McDonald, Greg Marr, Gary Knockwood. He's not here.
Is Gary related to you?
Yeah, yeah, he's my godfather. Yeah.
Marky McDonald.
Yeah. And then we've got Leo Marshall from Escasoni. We've got, when we're all together, there's probably about 16 of us.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people to fit around a drum, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess I will start with the questions. Where did the name Eastern Eagle come from?
Okay, Eastern Eagle, where it came from is that when we first started our group, it would have been about 17 years ago, that in the Mi'kmaq tradition and in our culture, there are four directions. And in each direction, there represents a color, which represents the four color of man. And in each of those four directions, they also represent the four sacred animals and the four sacred medicines. And so the eagle actually comes from the east. And so that's where we came from that. And plus, we live in the east. There are some groups out there called like Northern Cree or Southern Boys, and that's just happened mm-hmm. to where they come from. We thought it was fitting. It would be nice just to call a group, our group called Eastern Eagle. And it's just, that's what it represents. It's like the one, the strength. And the eagle itself, it's the most highly respected animal out there in the Mi'kmaq community and in First Nations spirituality right across North America, because he's the one who flies closest to the Creator, and he carries our prayers up to the Creator. He's considered the messenger.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question, though. This is you guys right here, you're saying?
On the cover.
Like, this is you guys' CD?
Yeah, that's our CD there.
Oh, okay. I wasn't like, aware of anything.
Do you guys have a website or somewhere where people can purchase your music?
Right now, if you go on easterneagle.ca, it'll take you directly to our MySpace page.
And, yeah, there's also a Facebook page, too, Eastern Eagle Singers.
Yeah. And so, but our past CDs, you could get through Arbor Records. It would be arborrecords.com. I believe it is. And our earlier CDs you could get off of Soar Records, based out of the States. The newest one is we're independent right now. We never signed with a label. We're just putting it out on our own. Just the ease of access. And so you pretty well got to come to where we're performing to get it. This fall we're going to do a new one, and we'll probably include some of those songs and some new songs also, and go with the label again.
Actually, too... if you were to check on iTunes, a lot of our tracks have made their way onto that music service. So a lot of the tracks are available for purchase at 99 cents through iTunes as well.
Sounds like a good deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's talk about the drum itself. Brian, you are the drum keeper for Eastern Eagle.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
The drum... Actually, the drum that we use is the powwow drum, and what it represents is the heartbeat of Mother Earth. And when we're in our mother's womb, that's the first thing we hear, is that the heartbeat. You hear the doo-doo, doo-doo, like that. And so Mother Earth is what we call, we call Earth, or Sitkamu, And have you ever heard of a sweat lodge ceremony? The sweat lodge ceremony in our culture represents the womb of Mother Earth. And so to go hand in hand with that is you need the heartbeat. And so that's what the drum is. So it represents the heartbeat. And through that, we respect, we do our prayers through that, and a lot of social music. There are a lot of different types of songs and music we have, as the same as different other cultures. You have songs and that are made for ceremonial purposes only that you wouldn't hear in public, and then you have social songs that you would hear at the powwows or any other gig.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting to me, Brian, is the fact that, you know, you, in essence, as a drum keeper, you are the keeper of the heartbeat of Mother Earth. How does one ascend to, I don't know if ascend is the correct word, but how do you become a drum keeper? How did you become that? I'm intrigued.
And maybe talk about some of the responsibilities as a drum keeper.
Yeah, it's one of those things, I guess, you don't really ask for it. Like, mm-hmm. It's something that just happens, I guess. Over the years, there have been many drum keepers with Eastern Eagle. Like, I was originally the first, and then because of my own things happened in my personal life, with the birth of my son at the time, that and I was a single dad, I needed to sort of slow down on my traveling and all that, so I wanted to stay home with him. And so one of the other guys took on that responsibility as a drum keeper for 3 or 4 years. And then when he got busy with school, he passed that on. But being a drum keeper, it's one of those things, there's a lot to it. It's almost like you're the manager at the same time. You can be almost like a dad to some of the guys within the group. Like, you take on that role as making sure that everybody's taken care of when you're going somewhere, everybody has rides, that we have places to stay, and that also you're taking care of the drum at the same time, because there are teachings within that. We were told that you have to treat the drum as you would your grandmother, that if you go indoors or any place like that, you always keep it wrapped up, make sure it's warm, make sure it doesn't get damp, you don't leave it in the vehicle. You have to treat that drum with the utmost respect, because we were always taught, if you take care of that drum, the drum will take care of you. Mm-hmm. And in turn with that, by taking care of that drum, we've seen places, we've been to places that we probably could only dream of at one point. We've been to Albuquerque, New Mexico, singing at the Gathering of Nations there. This is our third year, invited back to Minnesota at the Shakopee Powwow. In August, we're going there. We went to the World Championships a few times down in Connecticut. We placed third, was the highest we placed, which is awesome. But if it wasn't for that drum and having the respect for that drum, we wouldn't have seen any of these places. We wouldn't have met all these people that we know. A lot of the guys in our group here, we seem to know, we could almost go to any First Nations community within North America and just so happen to know somebody from near there or there. And it's an honor. It's like a gift from the Creator that you have to embrace.
Mm-hmm. How often do you guys practice?
Practice is, it varies. It depends on commitment of the season as well as upcoming gigs. So you figure in the winter, that's when the practices take place, because during the summer months, it's a very busy time with powwows, gatherings, and other type of cultural events taking place. We're usually a part of that. So with the practices, usually in the winter, and depending on the season coming up, it could be once a week to once a month. As long as I've been with Eastern Eagle, we had a very heavy practice regimen, and other times it was a very light practice regimen, and there's actually been a season or two where we practice once or twice during the entire winter. So it really depends on how much we plan on competing. If we have a heavy competition circuit coming up for the summer, we'll practice a lot. If we have a lot of newer singers, we'll schedule in a lot of practices. But if we're doing a lot of hosting and things like that, we'll kind of ease back on the practices, because a lot of us are professionals and family men and things like that as well, so it takes a lot of time away from some of the other things that we need to do.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about competing and hosting, for our listeners that may not know what you're talking about, you're talking about competition powwows.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
There's two types of powwows out there. They're those the one powwow is the traditional powwow, and that's where you get a lot of the a lot of the old people, and a lot of the other peoples will show up with and they're there to pray, and they're there to just share, because they have a strong belief that competing goes against what they believe in. And then there's another style of powwow called the contest powwow, and a lot of people that attend these powwows believe that the spirit of contest brings out the best in the songs and the dance, and they believe that with these contests it helps helps our culture keep an edge on it, and keeps the songs fresh, and it keeps the beats fresh, and it keeps the dances cutting edge, and keeps the dancers in shape as well. So it's two different schools there.
That's good.
I'm just intrigued. We've got a young man right to the left of me. Just want to bring him in on the conversation, because you look like you have a lot to share as well. Tell us who you are, your name, and are you Brian? Is he your son?
No, he's Mike's son.
Yeah, I'm Keegan Sack. I'm 13. I'm the newest member, I guess.
As of when?
As of like a month ago, I'm pretty sure. I haven't documented it or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm having a great time. Like, it's just a lot of experiences, going places and stuff with the crew and the singers and stuff. Like, just meeting a lot of new people, doing a lot of new stuff. You know, it's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And like getting the hang of the drumming and the singing and stuff. Like, it's a great experience.
So, I mean, have you always been aware of your culture in terms of the drumming? And is this something that like is a natural thing for you to become part of Eastern Eagles, or was it sort of like a
Well,
go ahead.
It's kind of like how I got into it. Well, my dad, Mike Sack, he was.
Mike's just sitting to the right of me here. Mike's not at a mic, but at some point I'm sure he will get you on too, Mike. At some point, I'm sure.
Mike doesn't have a mic.
He doesn't have a mic, no. But he has a mic. He has a name.
Yeah, he was there. He's really good friends with Brian, I guess. And, you know, I just went to a powwow once with him. And then, you know, they asked, you want to sit down with us? I was like, sure. And then they just went off from there. I'm having a lot of fun doing it.
So you're also the newest, but you're also the youngest.
Yeah, mm-hmm. By far. I'm pretty sure. Well, it wasn't meant to be like that, but like
the only second generation of Eastern Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, no offense to the guys, but I'm pretty sure the next oldest one is like double my age. So.
Well, you know, holds Leo. Leo's like 21, 22.
Almost double your age.
Almost, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And being a rookie kind of has its difficulties. You know, sometimes I got to buy the food or buy the Tim Hortons or whatever, but that's all right, I guess.
It's telling on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you guys were the host drum for our Kipu powwow.
Yeah, we were, actually.
Yeah. How'd you guys like our powwow this year?
The powwow was awesome this year. The location was great.
Yeah, I loved the location.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And us and the crew were talking that if you guys continue to keep it at that spot, it's going to be one huge powwow.
Yeah.
And it'll happen quick. It's just so central. The grounds are nice. You guys take care of everybody. But it's just got a really, really good feeling around it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. We got a lot of good feedback from everybody. Everybody seemed to like the spot. And the pictures, too, from the powwow. What I liked was you could see the Halifax skyline in the background from the Dartmouth Commons. And you could see the dancers, and, you know, the teepee up. And I don't know. It was very cool. So I would like you guys to maybe do some live singing for us.
Yeah.
If you will be so kind.
All right.
Can you do that?
Yeah, we'll give it a shot.
So why don't we play a track? While you guys are setting up, why don't we play a track, Case, and Eastern Eagles will get set up to do a live piece. Actually, yeah, we'll do PSAs is what we'll do. Marshall just said they'll do PSAs, and then Eastern Eagles will get set up and we'll be treated to some song.
Some hand drum.
So we'll go to PSAs right now.
Oh, okay, cool. We're going to go to PSAs right now?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I just had to get resituated at a mic. My level good, I can't hear me. Yo. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah, we good.
You're good.
All right, I can't hear me, but I'll keep it moving. All right. The Halifax Highland Games return to the Dartmouth Common on Saturday, July 11th. The games feature some of the finest Scottish heavy event athletes in the world, a dozen pipe bands from all across Canada, solo pipers and drummers, and Highland dancers. Admission is $12. Competitions begin at 8 a.m., rain or shine. For more information, go to the website at halifaxhighlandgames.com. The Canadian National Institute of the Blind is seeking volunteers to join our team. Several key positions are available, including office assistant and consumer satisfaction survey caller. If you're interested in becoming a volunteer with CNIB and helping people with vision problems, please contact Mark McIntosh. The phone number is 453-1480, extension 226, and the email is mark.mcintosh@cnib.ca. And last but not least, like summer camp, like working with kids, the Salvation Army Scotia and Glen Camp is seeking volunteer camp chaperones from Monday, July 6th to Friday, July 10th. Chaperones will travel on the bus with campers, stay in overnight cabin facilities, assist camp staff as needed, and participate in activities with campers ages 7 to 12. Scotia and Glen is located in Thorburn, just outside of New Glasgow. Applicants must be 19 years or older and be willing to complete reference checks. There is no cost to volunteer and great food. If interested, please contact Christine Cameron at Christine with a K. KRISTINE.Cameron, CAMERON, at SAHalifax.ca or call 422-1598, extension 243.
Let's go to this camp. All right, Becky, are they still over there?
Yeah, man. Throw to a track.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go to that track, and then we'll be back with Eastern Eagles.
Of God. Searching for the truth is a threat. Seems the closer we get to the truth, state troopers offense. Come out the solitude. My house in Malibu, probably tapped, cause living next door to Demi Moore. Plus I'm black, plus I want vengeance for the poor who's attacked daily. Patriot Act never scared me. Jake in the Taurus, sticky in the Jarvis. Niggas I'm with got warrants. America's browning. 20 years from now, every town will be brown in Latin. An African look in Manhattan. I'ma tell you what I seen with my three eyes. Word to me, not a hoax back in 99. A spacecraft in the skyline. In LA in daytime, axe horse if I'm lying.
Every mother, every father, raise your sons and your daughters with respect and with honor. From the seed comes the fruit. It's an unbroken circle. All of life is universal. And we're all in the struggle. If I know one thing is true.
Evidence remains in debate. Documents of our own Air Force base. Additional terrestrial information. Other planets with life population. My observation. Scientists study pictures of a flying disc. Right on Earth, anthropologists are finding shit. Visitors probably live at us. They can mimic us. It's sort of what we're seeing in the cinemas.
Take a look in the mirror and see the bigger picture. It's good to be alive. It's good to be alive. Nobody is an island. We are part of an environment. Only way we gon' survive is if we harmonize.
Reginald Lewis, the black billionaire before Oprah, Bob Johnson. How'd he disappear? Conspiracy theories, UFOs in the air. I seen it with my own two eyes, and I swear, like Warren Buffett. Real money, I'm just trying to touch it. The diamond and crush this shit, live illustrious. Cause we was deprived of it, stuff it. Now we pop to prove anything's possible. My pimp strut was invented when they whipped us. Now we diddy bop just to show you that our strength's up. Just when niggas about to see they cut, global warming about to burn us up. Niggas never really seen paper in this world. American Black's the teenager of this world. Give us 20 more years to grow up, already geniuses. What I mean is this. I used to worship a certain Queens police murderer till I read the words of Ivan Van Sertum, and he inserted something in me that made me feel worthier. Now I spit revolution, I'm his hood interpreter.
Take a look in the mirror and see the bigger picture. It's good to be alive. It's good to be alive. Nobody is an island. We are part of an environment. Only way we gon' survive is if we harmonize.
All right. Yes, we are now back with Eastern Eagle. So, Becky, you going to take it away with the live performance?
Yeah, they're just
gearing up.
Yeah, they're going to do a new song, they say. I don't know the name of it, but
we don't actually have a name for it yet either.
There is no name for it, so it's a surprise.
Well, maybe you guys can come up with a name for it while we're here.
Sounds cool.
Let's call it No Name.
Let's call it Pizza Party.
Pizza Party, there we go.
Yes. It's a number one hit.
All right, well, half. Let's go. We are listening to Eastern Eagle.
And this is a new one from Eastern Eagle.
A new one from Eastern Eagle.
It's so exclusive.
Studio, but
I don't know what to call that. Like
great.
Power or rush or something.
Just, yeah, Pizza Party was a terrible name.
That was a good song. So, a question, how do you guys come up with the drum line? Like, is it like, do you guys have written music to this? Like, could you write that out, or is it just, I don't understand, like
freestyle?
Yeah, like
that one actually. I don't know. They just come to us.
Freestyle.
Yeah, like you don't know when a song is going to come, and we consider them gifts from the creator. Like, and sometimes you'll get hit with a bunch of songs, you'll just get inspired, they'll just come out of nowhere. And sometimes you'll be going through a period where, like, man, we need some new songs, and then you're trying to make new songs and nothing's coming together. It's just, you know, it might sound cool one day and you go over it again and it's like, nah, that's not really that cool. But there are different inspirations, too. There's sometimes you want to sing about something. Like that one was a straight song, no words, just chant. Just the song itself gives you a certain type of feeling. And that's what the song is about, that feeling you get. There are some songs that have actual Mi'kmaq words in them that we make. And those songs tell a certain story. about it, and I think Nathan might want to add something there.
About where songs come from.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just with the songs and where they come from, a lot of the times you can go through an entire singing career without even having a song come to you. And that's my case. It's I've sang a lot of tons of thousands of songs, but when it comes to writing my own, it's I just don't have that gift. So it's on a lot of the other singers. It's really weird. This one time I did write a song, and it was just an old song I remembered from a few years ago.
So yeah, I was in on that too, man. Yeah.
So I wrote the song, and it wasn't mine. It was just my mind playing tricks on me. So I showed it to my friend over here, and he tweaked it a little bit. And then we gave the song to another drum group. And later we heard someone else singing that song, and it was like, holy, how'd they learn my song?
Exactly the same. Yeah.
And so, yeah, so that's that story anyway.
I had a question.
Okay.
Becky's like, you got to do the weather though, don't you? Is that what you're posing up for?
Actually.
It's foggy. There, done.
Yeah, there you go. It's raining. That's the weather. Anyway, moving right along. But did you have something else in mind? Did you have something else in mind, Becky?
It go rain.
No, not really.
Okay. You want to do the weather first though?
Okay. So Becky.
Yes.
Are you going to do the weather right now?
Brian's gonna do the weather.
Okay, so after. Okay, this is how we're gonna do, because we're kind of winding down. So after the weather, I'm gonna immediately play that other track that was requested by Eastern Eagles off you guys' CD, number one. Yeah. I'm gonna play that, and then after that, we're gonna come by, everyone's gonna say bye, and then we got a song that we got lined up over here to go hold on. So Bez, can you co-sign on that?
I co-sign, yes.
Okay, right. Cool. So, okay, Becky, go, or Brian, okay, it's all you on the weather. All
right, I'm gonna give this a shot.
Give you some talking music here, if that's all right.
This is Big B at WK.
Wrong station.
REZ. No. CKDU. The weather for Halifax, it's currently foggy. 17 degrees Celsius out there. This evening, it's mainly cloudy. High of 19. Going to be muggy. Might rain. Chance of precipitation, 30%. Overnight, we're going to have some light rain. Tuesday morning, again, cloudy and showers, much like today. Tuesday afternoon, same thing. The long-term forecast, Wednesday, cloudy and showers. Thursday, light rain. Friday, cloudy and showers. Saturday is going to be a little more clear, high of 22 with cloudy periods. So we got something to look forward to.
I was just enjoying the sound effects by my Matt. What's your name again?
Nathan.
By Nathan here. Did you hear Nathan's sound effects? Like the helicopter cameras?
Yes.
I'm wondering what that was.
Yeah, that's Nathan.
Side of the chopper.
All right, so now I'm going to go into that other song off the Eastern Eagles album. Anyone want to maybe throw an introduction to the song? Let the listeners know what they're going to be listening to?
That's just, that song's just... about where we're from. We're from the traditional Mi'kmaq territory of Sebaganagadi. And the song is just explains how where we're from and how we respect where the other peoples are from in the other territories.
Okay, is that on the east though?
Yeah, Sebaganagadi.
That's in central Nova Scotia. It's a very, very, it's a song that has to do a lot with the Mi'kmaq and the Mi'kmaq traditional territories.
You said it's in Shubi?
Shubenacadie.
Oh, okay. Well, Sebaganagadie, yeah. There are seven traditional Mi'kmaq districts. And there's like Unamagi is the Cape Breton area.
Umagi?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And Sebaganagadie goes right from almost here from Halifax right up to Truro area.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's the traditional district. So.
Yeah, that's... All right. I think,
Let's go to the track.
Yeah. Let's play this song.
Back.
Wow, that was heavy stuff, heavy stuff. We're back. And I guess we have run out of time. We do have to kind of say goodbye.
Yep, 2 minutes.
Not even
2 minutes. We should be done by one so that Swing Arrangement has time to set up their stuff. Charles Swen is in the house.
What up, Charles?
Swing Arrangement in the building.
But let's get final thoughts really quickly from everybody. If you want to give final thoughts, guys. Some final thoughts, some parting thoughts.
All right. Just want to say happy birthday.